Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and with the holidays coming up, we're spending some time each Thursday in November talking about food, finding it, cooking it, and eating it with Brooklyn writer Melanie Rahak. She's back this week to share more about what she learned during the year she spent working at a Park Slope locavore restaurant while at home with her young son, and that son had, shall we call it, a limited palate when it came to food. Does this sound familiar, parents? Her book is called Eating for Beginners, An Education in the Pleasures of Food from Chefs, Farmers, and One Picky Kid. And this week we're focusing on the last part of the title, The Picky Kid. We've been taking suggestions on our website and Facebook page on how to deal with picky eaters, and we'll get Melanie Rahak's insight. We will, right?
What little I have, sure.
And by the way, listeners, just a reminder that this is a Thursday, November series on purpose, which is to say it includes Thanksgiving. And even though we won't be live here on Thanksgiving, we will have a brand new pre-recorded Melanie Rahak segment right on the day. So here you are learning all about grass-fed beef and cooking healthy seasonal food that supports local agriculture, so that you can feed your son the best food. And what does he want, according to your book? Cheerios.
Cheerios. And I would say probably for about a year, he survived on Cheerios, yogurt, and trail mix, largely.
He wouldn't eat eggs, meat, cheese, or pasta.
Nope.
And was living almost exclusively on the things you said. So how did he react when you tried to offer him food he didn't like?
I have to say, I've never seen a person less interested in anything than he was in food. I mean, there wasn't a tantrum, there was nothing. I mean, he was maybe a year old, a year and a half old, right at that moment when, you know, all the sort of child development books say, oh, your child will be excited about food and interested, he'll watch you eating. Never watched us eating, never looked even remotely interested in anything, and in fact, didn't even eat bread, which is, you know, the mainstay of many children and many adults, including my own, you know, diet. So it was just sort of this big blank, you know.
So listeners, you know we want your calls on this. Is it true that there's one picky eater in every family? Were you that child? Did you get over it? And if so, how or when? My own 12-year-old, by the way, just said to us last week, this is, I can't believe I'm liking this asparagus. I don't even want to tell you that. So what advice do you have for feeding a picky kid? Call us at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, and chime in on this. And you write that as an adult, you grew as an eater yourself. You realized that the environmental and moral concerns around food have gotten complicated, and you adjusted your habits. But can you adjust your palate? Can you start liking things that you didn't like?
Well, I will say, and maybe this will make some of our listeners feel a little better, that I myself was just an unbelievably picky eater as a child. I refused to eat sauce of any kind, which included salad dressing. I mean, I ate nothing, and I probably drove my parents insane, I now realize, having been driven insane myself. But, you know, it is true that I grew up to eat, in fact, you know, more than your average person. So I think, no, you probably can't change your palate by force, but I would say your palate changes, especially from the time when you're a child to when you become sort of a young adult. I mean, what you say about your son gives me great hope for my son.
Yes, and if my son, the very picky eater, can say that to us, I don't really like it, but I sort of like it. So you know you're getting somewhere. But on Facebook, a lot of our commenters are saying that they have patience for kids who are picky eaters, just not for adults.
Right. Well, that's sort of a separate issue. I mean, I think, you know, as an adult, maybe you're taking more of a stand than you are as a child. I mean, childhood, I think, in general, is a lot about, you know, as the child trying to have control over anything, because obviously you really can't, you know, predict what's going to go on in your life, your parents tell you. And so I think that's certainly what it is for my son. And I would say as an adult, you know, you're definitely almost taking a political position. I mean, you know, I don't have an opinion about adult picky eaters. It seems a little more dubious to me than kid picky eaters, but I realize that some people just are never going to like whatever it is, eggplant or asparagus, and you can't force them, so.
And Laurel on our Facebook page writes, don't be a short order cook. Offer your kid one meal. If they don't like it, applesauce and plain yogurt is the option. tough love.
Yeah, well, as I said, yogurt was the option at our house for a long time. I mean, I agree with that. I don't think you should cook special things for your kids, but I also think it's important to realize that, you know, your kids are probably not going to eat the latest recipe out of, you know, whatever it is, the Jean-Georges cookbook. And, you know, they don't have to and they shouldn't have to. So, I mean, I think you can find a happy medium, which is really what my book is about. You know, maybe your kid isn't going to eat all organic, but, you know, they don't have to survive on McDonald's either. So,
Melanie Rahak, author of Eating for Beginners and Education in the Pleasures of Food, from Chefs, Farmers, and One Picky Kid. And Peter in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Brian. The last comment you read kind of echoed something I was going to say. And it's I've done that with my daughter. She's three now, and I'm a chef, so I cook all sorts of crazy stuff at home, and she eats everything. I mean, we really lucked out, but my wife is pregnant with number two, and I have this fear that this kid, I mean, you don't get two of them like the one we have in a row that eat absolutely everything, that loves sardines and, you know, the craziest thing I could possibly give her. But what I've done with her, and it's made her like things, I think, even more and be more adventurous, is she cooks with me. She sits in the kitchen with me and cooks with me, and if you get them involved with mm-hmm. what you're making, I think it really helps.
Sounds like good advice. But to the fear that you have that the next one won't turn out,
I'm going
to
corroborate that fear. I think there's no way there's no way you can get two kids who eat well. And I say that as a person who was sure that I would have, you know, children who would eat everything. But I have a baby now, and I'm really holding out hope that he, in fact, will be the good eater. So
and Alex in Reading, I think, will corroborate further. Hi, Alex.
Hey, Brian, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have good news. I do have two kids who eat everything. But the bad news is I have two other kids who are completely offended by the smell, the color, and the aura, and even the air that the food sits in. And we have had screaming matches. One of them is 10, one of them is 5. We scream, I cajole, I plead. But when after I've sworn off chicken nuggets, no smiley fries, no fast food, no restaurants, what I do is I belong to a CSA, a shared harvest. So, you know, if they're not going to take my food, then the only food that I'm going to have is healthy food at
right.
home.
A CSA, for people who don't know, we talked about it mostly in last week's segment. It's kind of a community buying club of local agriculture, right?
Right, right. And I follow a blog that I don't. Right. It's called My Kids Really Eat This. And this woman, yeah, My Kids Really Eat This. And
I think it
woman,
says something about our culture that there actually is a blog with that name, just to begin with.
Well, I know, but I've learned how to make my own breadcrumbs. It's not hard. And my one daughter likes peppers of all different colors. She's somebody that won't eat anything. Sometimes she's turned off by Cheerios. But I try and find one food, and at the very least, everybody has to sit at the table. If they're not going to eat, that's fine. And they might yell, and we might have bad looks across the table. But they have to sit, and they have to have conversation. And hopefully the food will come later.
Great call, Alex. And the sibling thing is such an imponderable, right? Do you sit
right.
up nights scratching your head and saying, now let's see, what did I do different with these two than with these two that
I
made
know.
Them come out? Right? Alex, thank you. Rebecca in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, it's so great to be here. I love this subject because I'm very opinionated about this because I have three lovely children that eat absolutely anything. And I think, and I'm always baffled by people whose kids don't eat anything, but I think one of the things that I did correctly as a parent was like this, there's a chef that called in, was variety foods really young. I mean, so they make baby food. Have you ever tasted baby food? It's the most nasty stuff you've ever put in your mouth. It's like, no wonder why kids won't eat things with spice and garlic and all kinds of stuff in it. So I just ground up everything that I was having and fed it to my kids. So they were always having strong, strong different flavors the entire time when they were babies. So by the time they got to be, you know, be able to eat whole things, they love it. And they're so funny. And there's a conversation around my table one time with my son, and he was like, "Have you tasted this asparagus? It's delicious."
All right, Rebecca.
Well, I think if I could just jump in here, I mean, I think it's sort of a separate issue. There's a flavor issue, and then there's a picky issue. I mean, my son, for mm-hmm. example, will eat crazy, you know, spicy hot things and really sour things. I mean, there are sort of different varieties of picky eater. It's not always about, you know, what things taste like. It's about, you know, new things or textures or stuff like that.
Textures,
so, I mean, I think it's great that you got three that eat. I envy you. And, you know,
I have a question for you, though. I have a friend, and it's psychological. I have a friend, his daughter will not eat anything. She literally gets physically ill when she has to try new things. She's a teenager. She graduated from high school now. But she will eat bread, smoothies. I even think, like, maybe bananas. I mean, she has, like, 10 things on her list that she will eat. She goes, I know what's the problem. But, I mean, this has driven my friend crazy for years.
Are you asking me?
Yeah, like, what is it? Is it truly psychological at this point?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think a teenager is a very different issue than a 2-year-old, you know. So I would hesitate to even, you know, offer an opinion on that. But, I mean, you know, if she's eating and she's healthy, then, you know, maybe it's just she'll grow out of it. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
it might depend on how you measure health, kind of in the short term or some underlying things. Rebecca, thank you. But then there are people like Eben on our Facebook page who writes, I am a super picky eater, and really, I just want to be left alone. Don't force me to eat your food. I have my ways and know what I like, and don't be offended if I don't eat what you cooked for me. Don't cook for me. Don't offer me food, and don't make fun of the fact that I eat the same thing every day. It works for me.
I think if my 4-year-old could write really well, that's probably exactly what he would write. You know, yeah, I do think there's a point at which, you know, they are people, these little children that we're raising. And, you know, I've definitely had my moments where I was really trying to push something. And I could just see by the look on my son's face that he just, you know, just get over it, Mom, get over it. You know, I'm not going to eat it. And I thought, well, you know what? I mean, okay, you have an opinion. You're entitled. So
I think Sunny in Brooklyn has one of the great questions on this topic. Hi, Sunny.
Hi. I just have a comment. I was thinking, you know, when kids like Cheerios, they probably like them because Cheerios is a great name. And so maybe when we want to feed a kid asparagus or broccoli, like, we could rename it and have it more of a, like, a sensational name to make them excited about the food. Love the show. Thank you.
Thank you very
much.
Well, I do
think
we'll call everything Pokemon.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I think that you would find any number of parents who tell little white lies to their children to get them to eat things. Like,
do you
know,
do it?
Well, I mean, I would never hide food or, you know, have it be sort of secret. But yes, I'm not above, you know, calling fish chicken if that will get my son to eat it. And he actually does eat fish and he really likes it. But I'm not sure that he knows it's fish. But that's fine with me because, you know.
How about this one? Donna from Bloomfield writes, my son, who is now 6'3", went through a period where he would only eat yogurt. So everything came out of a yogurt container. Carrots, steak, apples, everything.
That is genius, I have to say. Mine is not at that stage yet, but I'm going to keep that one filed away for later.
Should we do one more? Let's see. Corinne in Ridgewood, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, Brian. Love the show. Thanks for having me make a comment.
Thank you.
Basically, I'm 25 years old. I'm at home in the United States right now, but I live full-time with my husband in Beijing, China, where, as you can imagine, the Chinese have a wonderful history of, you know, amazing cuisines, and I can't eat any of it. I think, the world's pickiest eater. So, unfortunately, for all the parents out there that think there's hope, sometimes there's not. But I'm here to tell you that, you know, I travel with Cheerios. I've been all over the world. But these Chinese banquets do present a challenge to me, and that I am so picky that I kind of have to hide the food, move it. You know, I have my standard bowl of white rice and my Sprite and a couple little meats, but it's definitely a challenge living over there.
There's some 10-year-old listening right now, home from school today for the holiday, thinking, wait, they eat the same thing over there every day, Chinese food every day?
Right,
I couldn't do that.
Right.
Yeah, so it's definitely a challenge, but I actually, as I've gotten older, I've definitely incorporated more vegetables, like I love arugula, spinach, things that you wouldn't exactly expect a picky eater to eat.
Well, then I don't think you qualify as a picky eater at all if you're going to eat arugula and spinach.
Corinne, thank you very much. And we will have to leave it there for today, but Melanie will be back next week. Remember, we're doing this series with her every Thursday this month. Next week, we'll focus on cooking at home. We'll talk about shopping for your family's kitchen without any particular recipes in mind and about overcoming the pressures of cooking for a dinner party. And remember, we will have a fresh, brand-new Melanie Rahek segment on Thanksgiving Day itself as well in this November Thursday series. Author of Eating for Beginners, An Education in the Pleasures of Food from Chefs, Farmers, and One Picky Kid. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, Brian.